Tonight, what I want you to do, I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to go to Psalm 78. And as you go to Psalm 78, my goal tonight is just to give the introduction to that of the class that we're going to be taking for the next 10 weeks. Not you, but if you want to, you can. We'll be in the choir room. Last week, we kicked it off with that of the Digital Dangers class. We did record it. We did both audio and video. So you as a grandparent or you as a parent, if you want to go back and watch that, you want to go back and glean from that, you're welcome to do that. It's on our YouTube channel. And we invited the Iredell County Sheriff's Department in. We brought in their guys that deal with that kind of background. And they gave us everything they knew on how we could try to better just watch after those things, the things of why we ought to look, why we ought not to look, why we ought to let them have, and why we ought not to let them have. There's a lot of dangers out there. And so if you want to go back and read it, watch it, you're welcome to do so, or listen to it, all right, because we've done both of those. But tonight, as we look at that, I want to look at the book of Psalms. As we look at Psalms, I will read Psalm 78, one through that of 8, and I want us to hear what it is that we hear from that of God's word when it comes to that of parenting. And as we see this, we've got to remind ourselves that as the psalmist is writing this psalm, he is writing it to remind the children. Now, notice what I said there. He is writing it to remind the children of how gracious God was, even in spite of the rebellious nature of their parents. And so you'll hear this in the King James, this word, these dark sayings. Well, they're in that verse. Really, as we get to that, what he's saying is he's saying, listen, what I want to do is I want to show you about our past. And I want to show you how we ought not to do it again. And it is a teaching to that of the children of Israel. And so let's read real quick. Not real quick, but we'll read. And here in a minute, I'll slow down and we'll get settled in. But verse 1, the Bible says this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Notice that. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline, pull down your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, or speak of the things of the past that was not good, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. See in verse 3, which we have heard, which we have known, and look who told us. In verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, Yahweh, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should, notice that, make them known to their children. That they should be made known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. Know what? The law, the teachings that God had given to that of those fathers of the faith, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in the world. That they might set their hope in sports. That they might set their hope in, I don't know, living the American dream. That they might set their, oh, that's right. That they might set their hope, the children might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers. So if we don't want our kids to be like we were, then what should we do? Well, we should tell them of what God has done for us and what we shouldn't have done in the time of which we did those things. He says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, which is that of God, or in whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That means walking in order with that of God. Which also means Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. That is walking in the Spirit. Walking, that's marching in the Spirit of God. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for our time together. Lord, I pray, Lord, may we as individuals understand, Lord, whatever position, whatever stage we're in, of that of being a parent, a grandparent, Lord, that of a church member that is just pouring in to our young people. Father, we all have a responsibility. Father, we've been all called to rally around. Lord, we've been all called to do something to encourage this next generation, to remind this next generation, to pour in the truths of your word to this next generation. So that why, Lord? Well, so that we may have a strong church. We may have strong faith. We will have a sure foundation. We'll have homes, Lord, that is a bold witness, a bold testimony for that of what you have called us to be. And that, Lord, we'd be individuals that's living for you and, Lord, not for the things of this world. Lord, we love you. Father, we praise you and we thank you for all you do for us and all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So as I was trying to get my mind wrapped around, you got to understand. So as a youth pastor, I've been doing youth pastoring, I don't want to date myself, but maybe almost close to 20 years. We'll go 15 years. Some of it was done with that of serving as a senior pastor at Pelier Baptist Church. And while doing that, man, there's been a lot of things that I've heard about parenting. There's been a lot of things that I've read about parenting. And there was something that just really clicked with me. And I've always remembered it. I've always used it when it comes to trying to encourage the parents in wherever stage they're in. And what it was the three C's. It was, well, you've got the cop stage, and that's the stage early within that of the childhood. And I always taught it from that of like birth to that of maybe 9 or 10 years old. And so in that stage, you're a parent that is just, you know, teaching them the law. You're just like the cop. You're telling them what not to do, what to do. And when they don't do what you tell them to do, there's consequences for that. And so therefore there's discipline, because you and I know what happens when you run 80 in a 65. Yeah, there's consequences for that if you meet that fine gentleman on the road. And so what happens is we, as parents, we've got the cop stage. Well, then we have the coach stage. Well, the coaching stage is just what it says. You're a coach. You're out there on the floor showing them how to run the play. But you ready? But you're not copping them no more. In the coach stage, if you're still trying to teach them what is right and what is wrong, and you're ready and you're still having to discipline them, I'm going to be honest with you. The last whipping I remember getting as a kid, all right, remember this. The last one I remember, I think I was about 12 years old, and my daddy wore my hind end out. But that was the last one I remember. Because by that time, if I already don't know what's right and wrong, and if I don't know that there's discipline that comes from right and wrong, then you're ready? Listen, parents, we've missed it. Well, then you have the counseling stage. And see, as a young father in youth pastor work or in that of children's pastor work, it was always easy for me to go, and oh yeah, now listen, one day when they turn 19, you can only be a counselor. You know, all you can do is just come alongside and just hope everything you poured into them. Hey, you ready? You just got to pray that it just sticks, all right? And you ready? And when they're young, you can speak that with such great confidence, because you can go, and it'll work too. Until when? Until you get a 19-year-old that belongs to you, and then you're living it. And you're going, oh dear God, please, Father, may they have heard the things. May they have remembered those things that I poured into their lives. May they have, and you ready? Because you can't do nothing about it. They're young adults. Little Johnny's grown up. And if we've not done our job when little Johnny was from 0 to 10, and you've not done your job when they were from 11 to 18, listen to me, you can't do nothing when they're 19. It's too late. You're like, you really? Well, other than just praying and praying God show mercy. Because I will tell you, we as parents, we have a lot of work to do. And so as I started looking for that, I couldn't find the book. I don't know where the book is. I don't even know if there is a book. But I did find where there were several people that had come up with these stages. One would be the one we're going to talk about for the next 10 weeks. And that would be where we're the caretaker, we're the cop, we're the coach, and we're the consultant, or we're the counselor. And so therefore, those are way easier for me to remember. And then there's another one that would be called seasons of parenting. And that would be where we're the... There's the servant season, all right? And then there's the authority season. And then there's the mentoring season. And then there's the friendship season, all right? I think a lot of us has got that mixed up too. We try to be their friends when really we ought to be the cop. And we get those kind of blurred. And then next thing you know, we've got a real good buddy that's undisciplined. And so therefore we have to make sure that we keep this parenting thing in the right order, or we'll have us a mess. Another one was the one of seasons of parenting, if you would like to go look at that. That is from a website called Apostolic Christian Counseling and Family Services. So that's going to be ACCFS. I typed it in there just like that, and it pulled it up just like that. So ACCFS. Another one that I found was called Discipline. It was called these stages: Discipline, Training, Coaching, and Friendship. Discipline, Training, Coaching, Friendship. Notice the order again. Discipline, Training, Coaching, Friendship. And then another one, and it was more the same way as well. The fourth one was Caregiver, Manager, Coach, Consultant. And so as I looked at these four, I'm going, yep, I'm okay with the one I'm very knowledgeable with. And so therefore, for the next 10 weeks, we're going to talk about those different stages. Now listen, please don't check out on me though, because you got to think about this for a second. You're like, yeah, but Pastor Scott, I don't have kids from the ages of 0 to 5 no more. Well, no, you don't. But remember, you're a more mature parent, and we do have parents that do have kids from 0 to 5. And what you can do is you can use your wisdom for your 0 to 5 years, whether it be good or bad. You ready? Hey, I did the wrong thing, and I'm just letting you know you probably ought to do the right thing. And you could really help one another within this journey called parenting. We do need one another during this time. We do need to glean wisdom from that of different generations. Like one would be my father. My father would say, hey, enjoy this time, son. It's going to go by fast. And I'm thinking in the midst of, I don't know, maybe the third, fourth, fifth dirty diaper of the day, I'm thinking this man's crazy. He ain't got a clue what he's talking about, only to know now that I've got a 22, a 20, a 17, and a 9. And you're going, man, time did go by fast. It went by real fast. And so we learn from that of the wisdom of the older generations. Another thing is as I was looking for this, there is some Christian aspects, or there's some Greek terms. I'm not going to go through the Greek terms, but you can find all through the Bible Greek terms that refers to these different stages of parenting. One would be, you'll find the word infant, you'll find the word child, you'll find the word teenager or that of type. You'll find the word son. You'll find the word mature man as well. And all of these speaks of that of the spiritual development and that of our children, and how there ought to be spiritual development within that of our children. And so what we want to do tonight is I just want to look at that of the introduction. Parenting through the stages. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why don't we just keep doing it the way we do it? And really, do I need to change anything? I will tell you that I believe as a parent, and I'm as a parent I am, then therefore I would tell you that it's a constant learning. It's a constant trying to figure out what's the best way. It's constantly asking people that you trust. Remember, there's some that just shouldn't be asked, but there's people you trust, and there's people you can say, hey, can I ask you a question? Man, I'm really going through this tough time. Can you give me some words of advice? And you ready? Parents, listen, there's nothing worse, though, that as you ask those questions, then you do directly the opposite. And you say, Pastor Scott, that doesn't happen, does it? Well, sure it does. I remind parents all the time that, listen, you ready? Little Johnny's going to be 18 one day. It would do you well that right now at the age of 12, really begin to parent in this way. And then I would be reminded, well, listen, I want little Johnny to be my friend. I don't want him to hate me. And I would remind them that when he turns 19, he'll probably hate your guts because, and then you ready? And then they come to me and I'll go, hey, listen, I wish you would have just heard what I had to say and chewed on it for a moment instead of going, I hear what you say, but I don't want to do it. It is hard parenting, church. It is very hard. It is hard to parent, and you ready? And we'll all mess up. But I do tell you this, and I can speak for myself. You can talk to my bride later if you'd like to. I will not speak for her. I do rest easier at night knowing that I've done all that I could do. Now think about what I just said there. I'm not a perfect parent, all right? Nor would I claim that I am. But I will say this. I rest easy at night knowing that my adult children that I've poured into them as much as I can. I've shown them the best I can. I've showed them what God's word says. I've tried to teach them that of God's word, how to memorize God's word. We've done that. And so you ready? Hey, and they may still fall off the rails, but I still rest easy at night knowing, hey, you ready? We did do all that we could do during that time. And now what we pray for is that those seeds that were sown during that time, that you ready? That it does bring forth that of the harvest. Because I do believe that God's word does not return void. And so therefore, we ought to be people that is of God's word. We ought to be poured God's word into our children. And so I was going to share funny stories. I don't have time for that. But I will tell you this, in parenting, there's all kinds of funny stories. And I'm sure everyone in this room could share a funny story. And you would be like, and we would all be like, that is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard in my life. And so I will tell you this, there is always funny happening. All right. And hey, I will remind you, it's best sometimes just to laugh. At our house, we call it Zen panic sometimes, and that is on the inside, let your world fall apart, but on the outside, do not let that kid know that you've lost your mind. You just look at him and go, oh, really? Because see, what it does is they go, oh, that did not get the attention that I thought it would have. And you ready? It works well both at the home, also in youth pastoring. It works well in that of Headwaters. It works well, hey, oh, really? That's strange. I never would have thought of that. And then next thing you know, you ready? The kid is going, oh, we won't try that one no more. So we do have to understand, though, that when it comes to parenting, it is something that is designed by God. It is founded biblically on that of the teaching and that of the design in which God has done. And so take your Bibles if you would like to, or you can just listen, whatever would make your day. Some I will turn to, some I will not. You can write them down. But in Genesis chapter 1, and I love Genesis, the first 11 chapters of Genesis is something that we all should take note of, because it does impact the way that we really look at the rest of God's word. Because if we don't understand that it is God that designed marriage, it is God the one that said it is a man and a woman, and so therefore the world cannot change what God has designed. And so there's a lot of first in that of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So I don't know if that's something you would like to take a journey on as a parent, but I would encourage you to do it if you've not already. But in Genesis chapter 1, notice what God does. When you get to verse 26, he says these words, and God said, let us make man. There's the Trinity, the word us. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now note, take note. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and over the sea and so on and so forth. And so God made humanity male and female. It is God that gave the command to the male and female, which is now parents, Adam and Eve. He told them to be fruitful and to multiply. And so I love that of an individual that is reminded of people often, and that would be the gentleman that they had a memorial for today, Charlie Kirk. He would tell you to have as many as you possibly can have, all right? And I find that to be amazing. And remember, I said it's possibly that you can have. There's some, I understand, folks that would love to have a child. But may I remind you, listen, while you're in that journey of life, remember there's people there that can help you along with that journey. So I would tell you not to stay there. Seek that of some wise counseling, some that of guidance. Because I will tell you there's people in this church that loves adoption, and we love to talk about fostering. And you ready? And there's a time where you may get to that, and we would love to love on you with that. But also, everybody in this room has an opportunity to have a time to pour into a young person. And so parenting is not accidental. It is part of God's plan. It is not accidental. It is part of God's plan. He reminds me in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, and I'm going to flip over there as well. In Psalm 127, the psalmist is telling us that children should not be burdens to us. Children should be something that we see as a blessing from that of God. And in Psalm 127, notice what he says in verse 1. I love looking at God's word. God's word says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Parents, it should be God that is building your house. It should be God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And listen, that takes sacrifice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to serve the Lord the way that the Word of God tells us to serve the Lord. Not the way that Oprah, not the way that Dr. Phil, not the way that Seven Ways to Be a Better Parent, not and definitely not The View, but you ready? But for sure, we let the Word of God teach us that. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. They build that build it. Except the Lord keep that city, the watchman waketh up but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift to us. They're a heritage unto that of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And so what we see here is we see that the psalmist is reminding us, and ultimately we know that the Spirit of God is the one that's moving through the psalmist, and that he's reminding us that children are not a burden, but children are blessings. They are blessings unto us. And hold on a second, and they have been entrusted by God to us. They've been trusted by God, the creator of all, the one that is of all. He has blessed us with these children for us to do what? Well, for us to be great caretakers. To be great caretakers and to remind them there is hope, and the hope is found in God. We find ourselves oftentimes that we lose sight of the fact that it is the children that belong first to God. I'm reminded as I was doing my study of the book, I'm not going to turn there, but the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 1, you got the story of Hannah. And it was Hannah that said, Lord, if you'll bless me with one, then I will give it back to you. And so we know the story. It's Samuel. Samuel was born, and we know that it was Hannah that would go, and Hannah would then give back that child unto the Lord. And I think it's amazing, but because we do child dedications here at the church, but I don't know that we fully understand it. Sometimes I'm afraid that we're just going through a routine, and that is, have you had your child dedicated yet? And in that, you must understand that as your child is being dedicated, what you're doing is you're saying, I dedicate this child back to the one that has blessed me with it. And you ready? And ultimately, I believe it belongs to God. And so for right now, I'm going to be the caretaker that God has called me to be. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. I'm going to teach them what God tells me to teach them. I'm going to lead them the way that God would want me to lead them. And I'm not sure that we really understand that, because hold on a second. There's a great accountability here upon that of the parents and ultimately upon that of the father. Fathers, there's great responsibility on you to be the leader, to be the priest within your home. I find it sad that on Wednesday nights we're doing Ecclesiastes Bible study. We'll have 35 women in our Bible study for the women, and we'll have 15 men within the Bible study there. Now, hold on a minute. You're like, Pastor Scott, wait on a minute. I'm in the field. I'm working. I'm doing. Okay, that's wonderful. That's fine. And hey, I pray that you're growing. But I'm finding it strange that we find way more women wanting to be involved of that of the growth and that of God's word and that of, but yet the men are lax. We should have been taking the Bluebird bus with us to that of the men's conference, of that of Snowbird. Hey, why? Because we need men in our church. We need men in our homes that is taking on that responsibility of doing what? God's blessed me with them. I am going to do what God has asked me to do. I'm going to be found faithful when it comes to that of my time standing before the one that I have placed my faith in. And I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you did well within the home. He says, not only is it designed by God, but also it's our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility as parents to do what? To point them to God. in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to flip over there. So if you'd like to turn with me, you're welcome to, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if anyone's been in church of any amount of time, we know that this is going to be called the Great Shema, or which means also something that is to be heard, and that is something to be listened to. It's something that the Jewish people would recite both morning and night. And here in the book of Deuteronomy, we're reminded of the responsibility of the parent. Moses is telling the parents, as we go into the promised land, this is what you got to do. As we're going into the promised land, this is what you have to do. This is commanded by God. Now, notice what happens in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. My Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Speaks of that of the triune God. Don't miss it, because anything else is heresy. Verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Notice this, parents. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart." You must have them in your heart. You've got to have them in your heart before you can pour them into their heart. And hey, listen, that is a lot of work. It's very difficult. We had an opportunity to be able to share with another gentleman there last night around the tailgate. We had a smorgasbord. We had flattened pretzels, pimento cheese, jalapeno pimento cheese. We had Ritz crackers. We had some provolone cheese. We had some ham. We had some roast beef. And we had some chocolate chip doozy cookies. And let me tell you, it was delightful. No, whatever. No, it wasn't. But anyway, but it was good. Pimento cheese is great. I don't know if you know that. But anyway, but this gentleman shows up and he begins to share his testimony, and I won't go through his testimony, but it was amazing to hear how he had just been saved for about 6 months, and how he's really burdened to be the leader of his home, and he's finding it to be very difficult. How do I get in God's word? Gentlemen, let me tell you, it's very easy. Ready? You take and go to Proverbs 21 today, because today is the 21st. See, it's already done for you. The calendar's there. Open up Proverbs 21, and what you do is, you as a man, you read that first thing in the morning. And what you do is, you're reading Proverbs 21, you're gleaning wisdom. Because listen, in order for you to grow in wisdom and for you to see your family grow in wisdom, you must have that. So therefore, you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That was a sermon I done several months ago, or maybe a month or two ago. And so in that, as you glean from that, I told this dad, I said, listen, and as you do, find a verse that speaks to you. And then you know what you do? You take that verse and you say, hey, children, this one we'll share with you. Text it to your wife. Share it with them. Because now guess what you're doing? You're being the priest of your home. You're leading your home with the truths of God's word. Now, did you notice what I didn't tell you to do? Go down to the local Bible bookstore and find you a devotional, and then take that devotional. And hey, you ready? If you want to do that, do that. But the devotional is laying in your house. It's right here. All you got to do is just open it. Open it, read it, share a verse or two with your family. Be the priest within your home. Be the leader within your home. And so therefore, in Deuteronomy, he reminds us of that. And then he says this, because it's in your heart, because it's in your soul, because it's everything about you. That's all that you care about, is that of this loving God. And thou shalt, notice that, that is a command. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Notice that, that's not just haphazardly. That's just not occasionally. That's just not when you want to, when you feel good, or when there's no college football. Although that's pretty fun to watch as well. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them. There you go. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And then thou shalt bind them for a sight upon their hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall brought thee into the land which you swear unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And he continues on. He said, Pastor Cole, what does that look like? Well, let me tell you, right now, but both sides of my house, I have neighbors that love Halloween, all right? And man, they really love Halloween. And I've got my 9-year-old, and we pull out of the out of the driveway, and she goes, "Man, Dad, that's pretty scary." And I'm like, "You know, you're right." I said, and she says, "Well, why do we celebrate Halloween? Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we just go to gotquestions.com? Parents, that's a good one. Go to gotquestions.com, type in, what is Halloween?" And you know what I did on my ride to Headwaters, because I drive every morning with her and every afternoon? We just had a conversation of what Halloween is. Well, we talked about it from a biblical standpoint. We had a conversation. And you're ready? Conversating with my nine-year-old is wonderful, because you get some crazy questions that, you ready, that sometimes you just go, "I don't know. I have to find out for you." Ephesians chapter 6, I'm not going to turn there, but my Bible says this: "Fathers," and it's "and mothers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, in the structure, and instruct and instruction, heart-shaping truth of the Lord." That's what we've been called to do. We've been commanded. This is our responsibility. It is not our responsibility to make them the next great superstar on whatever sport that you would want them to be. Listen, this is what you've got to think about. Let's say they do make it to whatever super sport that you want them to be. We have failed miserably, though, if we not taught them how to, I don't know, how to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We failed in that. Why? Well, because we poured all of our energy, we poured all of our effort into teaching them that, hey, go chase after this, but hold on a minute. But have we showed them how to chase after the Lord? Have we showed them how to dig in God's word? You're like, "Yeah, we'll get that in a minute." "Yeah, but Pastor Scott, that's why we bring them to you." And I will tell you, no, shame on you for doing that. Although we love to have them. Don't think that. You're like, "We won't bring them no more." No, bring them. Because I'm going to come alongside you, and I'm going to shore up the very things that you're teaching. You get them every day. I get them once a week. And that once a week, y'all, that's 1 hour that I'm going to pour the word of God into them. We're going to pour the word of God into them. I'm going to teach them how to study. I'm going to teach them. But listen, ready? But ultimately, that should be done at the home. Proverbs 22:6, we hear this one all the time. "Train up a child in the way he should go." Training, though, listen to me, is long term. Training doesn't happen overnight. I promise you, there's no such thing as microwave parenting. And aren't we guilty of that? Look, if I can't put it in a microwave, if I can't get it in 30 seconds, Pastor Scott, I really don't want that. Listen, training takes time. Training takes work. Training takes effort. Training takes a whole lot of them being angry at you because, you ready? Because you're just trying to teach them the truths of God's word. Remember, hey, hold on. These are sinful creatures that are created in the image of God. These are sinful creatures, hey, that need Jesus. I remember the episode of Seinfeld, No Ugly Babies, but remember that was an ugly baby in that one. And ain't it weird? We're like, there's no such thing as an ugly baby. But in Seinfeld, they told you that there is a possibility of that. But I would tell you, I've never seen one, but I'm always trying to make sure if I could just be friends with them, you know? Sometimes they don't like to be my friend, and then I'm like, what? But anyway, so what we have to realize is that, you ready? They're born sinful creatures. They're born with a nature, hey, you ready, that is against God. And so if you're not teaching them how to chase after God, if you're not teaching them the right and the wrong, then I'm asking you, who is teaching them? Remember, I only get them one, as a student pastor, Brother Timothy, we only get them 1 hour on Wednesday night, y'all. Listen, that should not be on us. You have them every day. You ought to be thinking through, how can I make this possible? The father is the priest of the home. You can go read it later in Ezekiel 33. We're the watchmen. We're the watchmen of the home. And now, listen, you ready? Maybe you're a single parent, and you're the wife that's you're the woman that's raising this child, the mom. Hey, you ready? You're the watchman, and it's you that has to watch. You're the one that's guarding. You're the one. Now, I'm not talking about helicopter mom or helicopter dad. I'm not talking about bush hog mama and bush hog daddy or bulldozer daddy and bulldozer mama. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is you being very aware of what's coming in and out of your home. But you ready? But if you don't know what you're very aware of, see, you got to be in God's word to know what the enemy looks like. If you don't know what the enemy looks like, then what you do is you just bring it in until you go, whoop, messed up there. Oh, well, I should have done that. And you're ready? And now it's too late. But you're ready. But what if I mess up, Pastor Scott? You will. I did. And it's okay. You know what you do, though? You say, hey, I messed up, and we ain't going to do that no more. Because we're not perfect parents. So not only is it that God is the one that has designed parenting, not only is it our responsibility as parents to raise them, to teach them, to pour into them, to train them, and not outsource that to schools, youth group, and churches, but also, you ready? But it also, you and I, we are shepherding a heart. We're not managing a behavior. Think what I just said there. We're shepherding a heart. We're not managing a behavior. And I want to explain that to you. I'll explain that to you from a youth pastor position, not from that of a parent position. Then what we ought to do, Pastor Scott, is we ought to have a dress code. Let's give them a dress code. In all actuality, there is places, like if we go to Snowbird, you must have a one-piece bathing suit. So I take my one-piece bathing suit, all right? I'm very good at that. I don't never wear a two-piece. It doesn't look good on me. But you ready? But there is those times that you have it. But can I tell you that we can take that to the extreme, that we have a dress code and they must wear this and wear that and we can teach them how to look like a Christian on the outside. And you ready? But on the inside, the heart is wicked. See, you can teach a kid how to act right. It's strange because sometimes they see it from us. We come to church, we act all Christianese, and then on Monday, we act like hell. Think about it, parents. We are holier than thou. We come to church, we're arguing, whatever it is that's going on in the car, and when we step out of the car, it's like, whoa! You know, you're like, hi, my name is Pastor Scott. It's so good to see you. Isn't it such a delightful day? The rainbow is glowing within the sky, and the sun is out, and I can just hear, it's almost like you're in a Disney movie. Although that's ungodly as well, but we will go there, because some of them are good. But just think about it. They're seeing that from you. And what happens is we're not teaching them how to manage a behavior. What we're doing is we're taking God's word, we're pouring it into them. We're not beating them up with it. Don't beat them up with God's word. If you want a kid to learn how to hate God's word, you beat them up with God's word. Thou shalt not lie. Ah, the word of God says thou shalt not lie. Well, how about you quit lying then? And whenever you lie, let them say that to you. You're like, well, I'm the parent. They're the kid. They can't do that. Well, somebody needs to. You don't like to be beat up with God's word. So we don't use God's word to do that. But we can use God's word, according to Timothy, to do what? To rebuke, to correct. We're to guide with God's word. But listen, you can't do that with God's word if you don't know God's word. And what we have to do is we have to shepherd the heart. We have to shepherd the heart. And remember, kids can look good outwardly, but listen, ready? Be very far from God. You want to see how that looks? Let them graduate and go to college and watch how far they stray. And you're like, well, Pastor Scott, I'd pour it all. I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's all the time there, but I'm letting you know that is what takes place. We teach them how to act at church. We teach them how to talk at church, but yet we don't teach them that, wait a minute, it ain't a light switch, parents. We're to live for the Lord daily. There's no such thing as light switch Christianity. That's religion. And we have enough of that in our world today. And so what happens is we find ourselves walking through these different stages. And so we must have a biblical foundation. The biblical foundation reminds us from God's word that it is God who designed parenting. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's our responsibility to do what? To do what? And that is to not outsource this responsibility. What we need to be doing is we need to be pouring in. We need to be training up. We need to be teaching them what it is that God's word says. And not just teach it, but live it out before them. So that why? So that we can shepherd that heart. We can shepherd that heart. We can mold. Let the word of God mold that heart. Because listen to me, I would rather God's word be molding your child's heart than your opinion. Because remember, it comes without void. It's got a promise, and there's a promise in that of God's word. God's word changes lives. Oh, remember that's Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says he reveals himself to all men in a very natural way through that of his creation. But it's then the word of God in verse 7 of Psalm 19 that says it brings change to a man's heart. I want inward change. You should want inward change as a grandparent and as a parent. And so what happens is we go through those stages. And those stages, I'd love to walk through them one more time with you, just so we can know the direction we're going. And in those stages, you have the caretaker stage. The caretaker stage is going to be a stage from 0 to 5. That caretaker stage from 0 to 5 reminds us that we're to love and we're to nurture. We're to give security to those kids. Isaiah 40 verse 11, I know that this is God's talking to that of the children of Israel, but listen to that of the picture of the Father. In Isaiah 40 verse 11, it says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. You ought to be tending your family like a shepherd. You're looking to see the health of your child. You're looking to see, not physically, listen, I'm talking spiritually as well. You should want to know where your kid is spiritually within that of their walk. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Not only do we have that of the caretaker stage, but we also have, I'll make sure I get them straight, we also have the cop stage. The cop stage is from 5 to 12 years old. And in this 5 to 12 years old, and we'll talk more in depth, we're going to be talking about boundaries and discipline and correction. I find it strange, as I talk to parents, I'll ask the parent, I'll say, hey, so how were you disciplined as a child? And the parent will say, well, in my home growing up, I received whippings. And I would say, well, why don't you whip your child? Well, we're trying something new. And I'm going, well, how did you turn out? Well, I turned out pretty good. Well, I'm confused. Now, hold on. I have 4 children, remember? And every one of them had to be disciplined differently because they all have different natures. Some you could whip until the cows come home and they'll look at you and go, may I have more? But the one moment you do this, you ready? You take away their hobby. Now the world has come unglued. And now you found their kryptonite. And you want that. But you don't want to tell them. Zen panic. And so we have that cop stage. We have the coach stage. That's 12 to 18 years old. That's guidance, modeling, and encouragement. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. You want your kids to be wise? You be wise. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverb highlights how relationships shape character. That's why this weekend, as we were at Snowbird, we found out that Jeff Weinbarger, he was our oldest. And I'm like, how's it feel to be the oldest young man? He's 53, all right, so he's our oldest gentleman. We had as young as 18 with us. So you had 12 men, all different ages, and you're ready? And what we want to do is we want to do what? We want to come alongside one another. We want to build each other's character up. We want to help each other grow within that of the wisdom and the admonition of the Lord. And then you have the counselor stage. That's from 18 to plus. The support, advice, influence without control. Notice that. I said it. I'll say it one more time. Influence without control. Hey, listen, they're 18. They're 19. They're a young adult. And what we have to do is we have to have them ready for that age. Proverbs 20, verse 5, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And so what we have to do, parents, our goal in parenting is this, and this will be my last one. Our goal in parenting is not simply to have good kids. That's not our goal. My goal in parenting, and I hope your goal in parenting by the time we get done, is not that we just have good kids. Although, that's a good thing to have. Have you ever had this problem? You ready? Like out in the world, they're like princesses and princes. And you're like, where in the world did that come from? Because at the house, y'all demons, all right? I'm just going to tell you, I'm thankful for them to be such a good person outside the home. But can I tell you something? There ought to be some discipline for the fact that you know how to act this way in the world, why don't you act that way here at home as well? They act one way with their grandparents and they act another way with you. And so we have to have that consistency. We have to have, and we want to teach them that. Or what we do is we teach them how to be just like the rest of us that practice this, and that is we're Christian on Sunday and then we're hellion on Monday. And you don't need to turn. You can go read it later. It's only one chapter, 3 John. John opens up the book of 3 John and he is congratulating that of Gaius. And he's telling him, he says, listen, he tells him in verse 2 and verse 3, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. That's what we want. That's what we want, church. That's what we want, parents, is we want to have that joy of knowing that our children are walking in truth. We want our kids. We want kids who, listen, ready? But kids who know what? Know our Savior. I don't want my kids showing up one day before the throne of God and him saying what he says in there in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, look, they argue with God. We got a lot of kids that argue with their parents. And you know what? We give in. And I'm not saying, just be careful, guys. Listen, we're going to talk about that. And what they do is they argue with God and they say, but did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do great and mighty miracles in your name? Did I not teach Sunday school in your name? Did I not go to church every Sunday in your name? Did I? And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never, notice this word, knew you. We want them to know our God. We want them to know our Jesus. We want them to know that. We want them to love. We want them to love, not as 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 is, that noisy gong. We want that love to be genuine. And you ready? They see that from you. And we want them to follow Jesus. That's what we want. We don't want just good kids. We want to be able to hear, hey, those words that John would share with Gaius and say, hey, listen, there's no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. And so what we do is we go back to Psalm 78 with closing. Notice what he says here. In Psalm 78, he says these words. Let's do that. We will not hide them from their children, show unto the generation to come the praises of the Lord in his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. I don't want to hide that. I want to be the one that tells my children everything about my God. The one that I say I love. The one that I say I put my hope in. The one that I say that I live for. But listen, you ready? But I'm asking, do we tell them about our God? Or do we just threaten them with our God? Or threaten them with the pastor? Hey, you keep doing that, I'm going to make you go talk to the pastor. Well, thanks for letting me be the bad guy. Why don't you be the bad guy? Why don't you be the one that, hey, you ready? That grows in the position in which you need to grow in. Why don't you be the one that is the priest, the one that is doing the guiding, and then call me and say, listen, I'd love for you to come alongside us and help me in this area. But we don't. And what he does here is he says, listen, let's not hide them. Let's tell them. Let's show them. Verse 5, for he established a testimony, he did, in Jacob, God, and appointed a law in Israel, and with the command in our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Twice. You got verse 4, making them known to our children. Verse 5, make them known to our children. Make them known. It is not just the church's job to make them known. We have lost that in our homes today. Deuteronomy says, put it everywhere. Write it everywhere. That the generation to come might know them. To know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Declaring them to their children. It's constantly, tell your children, hey, let it be known to their children. Declare it to their children. And then you see in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. That's what I want, church. That's what I want as a parent. That should be what you should want as a parent. Excuse me, as a Christian parent. A worldly parent has no desire for that. They would just soon have a good kid. I would rather have a godly kid a kid that knows the truth of God's word, and you ready? And is guided by God's word. And hey, and it's been done so from my home. It's been taught from my home. It's been talked about from my home. It's talked when you lie down, when you rise up, when you're walking down the road, when you're riding down the road and the question's asked. And we just don't say, well, I don't know, honey. No, let's just see what God's word says. Got questions is amazing. Challenge, the challenge is to us. We want to not measure the success of our kids by that of grades. You know what? Who cares? Don't measure it by the grades. Don't measure it by the sports. Don't measure it by the trophies. What we want to do is we want to measure it by the walk that they have in Christ. I want to lead them to the Lord. I want to be the one that leads them to the Lord. And I want to lead them to the Lord, not just by my mouth, but by the way that I live my life as well. I want to lead them to the Lord. Now, you ready here? Get this. You may not be the one that leads them to the Lord, but I want to lead them to it. I want to be the one that shines the light. I want to be the one that says, hey, listen, no, this is who my God is. No. I know what the world says. No, you need to understand, sweetheart, this is what my Bible says about my God. And listen, the way I'm going to do that is I have to be a student of God's word, because you're the priest of your home, Father. You're the priest of your home, Mom. And we have to be students of God's word. In order to be the parent that God has called us to be, we have to be students of his word. And listen, you ready? I will help you any way that I possibly can. I will tell you, just like I would tell the students upstairs, I will help you with any commentary. I will help you with any type of studying tool. I will help you any way I can to make it to where I just come alongside and help teach you how to study God's word. We've done multiple podcasts on how to study God's word. We did a whole January through May on how to study God's word. It's there. What you have to do is, while you're mowing, instead of listening to whatever it is that you're listening to, just turn it on and learn how to study God's word. Just, it's work. We can do it. Parents, I'm looking forward to the next 10 weeks. It's going to be fun. Why? Because we're going to see what God's word says about how we can be better parents in all stages. But not just we as parents, but also we as church members, how we can come alongside and rally those parents in whatever stage they're in and tell them, hey, you know what God's word says? It says this. I'm going to pray. You ready? Hold on, not yet. Chip Ingram said this, and this was way back when I used to listen to him all the time. 99% of our problems can be found in that of God's word. Every problem, 99% of your problems can be found right there. I promise you. The other 1%, you're like, Pastor Scott, where's that other 1% come from? Other godly individuals that are in God's word daily, that shares God's word with you in the situation you're in. 100% of your problems, your issues, can be found, the answer is found there in God's word. We just have to be students of it. We just have to work. And it's hard, but it's rewarding, because one day I want to hear those words, not just because I served as a pastor at South River, because I was a father and a husband, that I hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, be with us as we go. Father, I pray, may we see this as encouragement. Lord, may we see this as challenging. Lord, may we see this as, Lord, each one of us, Lord, in whatever stage we're in, wherever we're at in life, Lord, you've got us there. There's no accidents. There's no by chances. Lord, we're within where you would want us to be. And so, Father, what we have to do is take inventory, and we have to then look at our lives and say, okay, Lord, what would you want from us according to your word? How would you want me to parent? How would you want me to come alongside and help that of a parent, of a young parent, of a parent, that of a teenager? Father, we need to come alongside one another, lock arms, and be that one God-centered unit raising that next generation. Because, Father, we're living in a world that is in great need of it. Father, we love you, we praise you, and all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.